This is Don Hassig with Cancer Action Network, and you're listening to Loving the Earth, Pollution Free Rising. Today, several cancer prevention educators have joined us for the program, and I'm going to introduce them both, and then we're going to hear from Sharon Kaplan. Sharon Kaplan is with the Cancer Resource Center of the Finger Lakes. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning.
We also have on this program today Katie Kelly from Clean New York. Good morning, Katie.
Morning.
Let's get started then with Sharon. Can you just give us your introduction and tell us about your organization and the kind of cancer prevention education that focuses on pollution that you guys are doing?
Sure. Well, I work for the Cancer Resource Center of the Finger Lakes, like you said. And we are actually an organization that provides support to anyone with any type of cancer or their family, friends, and caregivers. And we actually started out as Ithaca Breast Cancer Alliance in 1994 and recently expanded our mission to include anyone with any type of cancer. When I joined the organization 3 years ago, I actually came from a background of youth work, so I had been pretty much my whole life working with different ages, anywhere from elementary up through high school, and always in my personal life had a goal or a sort of a way of just living a little bit more in tune with, you know, what I purchase, what goes into my bodies and my family's bodies, and sort of, you know, always in tune with the life cycle of, you know, how basically how we live. So when I came onto the organization, I, you know, carried that with me, and when an opportunity came up for a project that we named Body Care Aware, I jumped on that because I realized that providing support people with cancer and helping them negotiate a life after a cancer diagnosis was extremely important and really our mission. However, I felt very strongly that some sort of prevention education and along those lines was also very important. So with a startup grant from the United Way, and actually it was a youth in philanthropy grant that got our project started, we created this project, the Body Care Aware Project. And the goal of the project was to educate young people, specifically high school and college age young people, about the chemicals in their body care products and empower them to make choices, healthier choices for themselves and ultimately for the environment. So with that initial goal, we started by doing presentations in health classes and also attending community events like the Sister to Sister program in Ithaca was for middle school age girls. So we would set up a booth there and just do our little spiel.
That sounds like a great introduction. Can you give us, you know, your introduction now, Katie?
Absolutely, definitely, thank you. And so as you said, my name is Katie Kelly, and I work with a nonprofit organization here in New York called Clean New York. What we work to do has a good overlap with the work that the Cancer Resource Center does in terms of education. And so our goal is we work to reduce exposures to toxic chemicals and really to fix the broken chemical policies that allow those toxic chemicals there to begin with. It's sort of not just one part of the problem. So we have a couple different methods using education as well as lobbying to fix those policies. I've been with Clean New York for almost a year now, coming from the advocacy world and environmental health. And I really found that the idea of talking with people directly about their direct body exposures, as Sharon said, can be incredibly empowering. I found that this is an issue that isn't something that people just want to sit back and let happen to them. Makes a huge difference, and individuals can make really important choices that make a difference in, you know, their body exposures, in the toxic chemicals that impact our body and the environment. It's not something that we just need to sit back and wait for something to happen. In part to help make that happen, Clean New York has come together with over 50 organizations in New York State, including the Cancer Resource Center of the Finger Lakes, in a coalition that's called the Just Green Partnership. Each organization has a different mission, but we do all overlap in our goals to work for environmental health and justice here in New York. And it's really the diversity of our organizations within the coalition that provides the key to our success. Just like the Cancer Resource Center primarily does, you know, provide services for people with cancer diagnosis and cancer survivors, there's a huge array. So Just Green represents health-affected organizations like the Cancer Resource Center, health professionals within the state, environmental groups, and consumer groups. And so together, working together, we are able to educate the public about chemicals in our products and environment, and as I mentioned, help fix those policies that allow those chemicals to be there in the first place. All of this really goes back to the basic idea that as individuals here in New York, we have the right to a world that's free of exposure from harmful chemicals. Our bodies, our air, our water, and our food. You know, we shouldn't have to be talking about how to prevent health impacts or cancer from exposures. It's something that shouldn't be there to start with. And, you know, we're working from an educational standpoint and from a policy standpoint to help flip that situation around.
Tell me about that, the Healthy Home House Parties that Clean New York presents and that you are involved with presenting.
Yeah, absolutely. So similar to the Body Care Aware Project, what Clean New York has done with our created a set of user-friendly educational materials about some of these toxic chemicals in products, focusing on some of the most common product sectors that people run into. And of course, this is gratefully funded through the Pollution Prevention Institute. So we're talking about how to reduce our exposures as well as pollution in the environment. So we've put together these Healthy Homecoming Party kits, and they contain everything that an individual would need to put together a small event to help themselves and their friends learn about which products to avoid, why they should avoid them, you know, and that, again, relying on toxic chemicals is dangerous and unnecessary. We don't need them. So the kits are a great tool for individuals to reduce their own exposure, as well as to help change the system that's out there. So we focus on, there's five different kits, body care products, cleaning products, electronics, and electronic waste, children's products, and plastics. And so the kits are easily downloadable at our website. You can go to clean-ny.org/hhparty.html. All you have to do is pick a topic, and then once you've downloaded the kit, it's, as I said, got everything you need. There's step-by-step planning instructions so that you can figure out how to tell people about it and get them to come to an event. Gives you all the background information and talking points on the topic that you choose, sample invitations, letters, you know, ideas for group activities, so that as individuals you can actually talk about what the problem is. So everything that you need is in there, as well as more resources for more information. And the basic idea here is that you don't need a professional to tell you about these issues. These are topics and products that we run into on a regular basis. We all come into contact with body care products, with electronics, plastics, those sorts of things. And it's our right to know about what's in these products. So we've put together the basic information that you need and really making it accessible to consumers so it doesn't feel like such a large, overwhelming controlling problem that is better off if we just ignore. You know, we find increasing links to cancer and other health problems as we do more and more research. So it's not something that we can ignore any longer. And we found through, you know, putting together these events for the community that people really appreciate them. So we want people to be able to do them on their own as well. Sharon and I have done a couple events at the Cancer Resource Center, and, you know, we've really had great responses from people learning new information, answering questions that they have, you know, hands-on in terms of which products you want to use and avoid. And it's a great feeling as an educator to realize that, you know, you're helping to make a difference in the choices that that individual makes and how, you know, what happens to their family, the exposures they have, you know, and that overall we are helping to change the system and reduce pollution.
Well, that sounds, yeah, it sounds just fantastic what you're doing. Let me get back to Sharon. Sharon, you mentioned the Sister to Sister program there in the Ithaca-Tompkins County area. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about Sister to Sister and how that, you know, that how that dovetails with what you're doing with the Cancer Resource Center?
Sure. Sister to Sister is an event that's held every March. I believe it's a collaboration with Ithaca College and there's some other group, and I feel bad that I don't know the exact groups involved, but they put on this wonderful event for middle school girls and their parents, and it's held in March at the Women's Community Building. The workshops are geared towards the girls, and their parents actually have separate workshops, so they, you know, they can attend these separate things and just learn similar, you know, along similar topic lines. But the girls, the thing that we're involved in is the Love Your Body Fair. So at a certain point, all the girls come into a main room where there are different organizations. And the organizations have displays, and some of them are interactive, and our display focused on the Body Care Aware Project. And the so we had different products displayed, and we encouraged the girls to read the ingredients list. And so we that was sort of a springboard for conversation about what is in your body care product. And it's always amazing to me how so many people, whether they're, you know, young girls or middle-aged women, just tend to ignore the list of chemicals on the back and pretend like it's not there, or if they can't pronounce it, it can't hurt them.
Yep.
So, you know, this is just one thing that I just love to point out to people, because I feel like that's the starting point for where they're going to understand how serious the issue is.
Really cool the way you kind of like found that, you know, way of getting into this with them. It's kind of cool the way it teaches them that kind of, I'm sure they will remember to do that maybe a little more, because it was something that kind of like came as the starting point with you guys, and how special it is to learn from you about this whole area.
Yeah. And the other feedback I get from them is that, oh, I'm going to go home and show my parents. Or, you know, sometimes they'll come back to me and say, you know, we looked at this together. We tried to pronounce it, and my mom couldn't even understand it. You know, thinking that if their parents are buying it for them, it must be safe, which is, you know, not always the case. So, the other end of things, too, is, and what we did at the Love Your Body Fair was, so we would educate them. We encourage them to take this Body Care Aware quiz that we had made up, and then discuss the answers with them. And then we showed them how to make a really simple do-it-yourself sugar scrub. So they, you know, they were able to actually use very simple ingredients to make this nice exfoliating scrub. And also in that lesson was I had a sample of, you know, some product that was geared towards exfoliating scrub, and I showed them all the chemicals in that, and then we took a look at the simple ingredients of the scrub that they made. And so, you know, it was really eye-opening for them to see that they can not just, you know, avoid the chemicals, but actually make the product themselves.
that's really doubling up on the kind of the good vibe of doing this. I have a twin brother, and it's amazing. He doesn't read these lists of ingredients. He'll just pick up something and start eating it. And it's just amazing. And this is food that we're talking about, which is think people will be a little more careful about than just, you know, these other parts of our exposure. But if people aren't reading about what's in the food they're putting in their body, you know, of course they're not reading about what's in the body care products. And I heard this really good quote. I think it's Dr. Marcola was saying, if you wouldn't eat it, don't put it on your body. I can remember that for a long time.
It's true.
Yeah, it's really, especially talking about body care products, you know, it's really shocking, as you mentioned, how much we don't pay attention to it. We do absorb, you know, a large percentage of chemicals through our skin. And you made a great point that people do pay attention to what the ingredients are in their products now. You know, organizations have done a great job of creating awareness about that. So people are checking it out, checking if it's organic, you know, seeing what's in there. But body care products, you know, Sharon and I both have asked tons of people in the community just to simply think about how many body care products you use in one day. You know, the fewest number I've had someone answer was 4. I think, you know, for young women, the answer was closer to 20.
Wow.
And exactly. And, you know, just body care products alone can add up to hundreds of different chemical exposures in one day. What we're not thinking about, you know, is what those repeated long-term exposures do or how those chemicals combine. They're not tested, you know, for safety in that way. And another important point to make in terms of contrast with food is that the labeling is not nearly as regulated or defined as you find in food products. So we make a point of talking to community members about how the words natural or safe or green or earth-friendly or, you know, whatever else they choose to put on the front of their bottles don't mean anything. You know, not to say that every product that makes that claim is making a false claim. You know, there's lots of great products out there, but that those don't tell you anything, and that you do truly need to flip over the back of the bottle, see what's in there. And, you know, we do have the advantage of having those ingredient lists provided, which, you know, you don't find necessarily on cleaning products, making it much more difficult to know what you're getting. And check and see what's in there. You know, it's easy to learn from, you know, these healthy homecoming parties, from the Body Care Project, from, you know, various resources, a couple of key ingredients to look for and avoid that make a huge difference in terms of reducing your exposures, helping protect your health and environment. So, you know, these projects are...
Tell me, what are some of the chemicals, you know, what are the major, you know, worst nastiest chemicals, you know, the ones that are likely to be causing the most adverse health effects that, you know, you guys are, like, dealing with in, say, the healthy health care parties?
Mm-hmm.
I think the number one, well, actually, Katie and I could probably put the list together, but the parabens are really rampant in the body care product world, and they're listed as methylparaben, polyparaben, list goes on and on and on. And parabens have actually been found in breast cancer tumors. So that, to me, is a pretty direct link in terms of, you know, chemical to cancer. Another one is fragrance, which is pretty much in most body care products. And fragrance is a proprietary thing for companies, so they don't need to divulge the exact ingredients in a fragrance, which makes it all the more scary because you just see the word fragrance and that seems pretty inert, but
right.
You don't know what exactly makes the chemicals that make up those fragrances. Katie could probably add a few.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, talking about those two examples provide a good contrast in that for the most part, you do find parabens listed on a label. And the purpose of parabens, you know, are to act as preservatives, primarily in water-based body care products. So they help us be able to keep those products, you know, in our bathroom for a much longer time, not having to worry about it spoiling, versus the issue with fragrances, with the chemical of concern being phthalates, not being labeled. You can't look for phthalates on a label. You can find them, again, as Sharon said, in pretty much anything that does have a fragrance. But it doesn't. That doesn't help. It doesn't tell you what's in there. And the single word fragrance can actually, you know, indicate hundreds of different chemicals. So it provides no useful information whatsoever. So those are some of the top things to be concerned about. Unfortunately, not too many other ones are on the label. And it's tricky for consumers, you know, in terms of things outside of the body care realm. Two of the big things that we've been talking about here in New York are bisphenol A, which is used to make polycarbonate plastic, as well as brominated flame retardants. As you listen, you know, these words pretty much become tongue twisters, making it, again, even more difficult for consumers to say, oh, well, this word I can't pronounce, but, you know, it should be something that I'm concerned about. Focusing just quickly on bisphenol A, used to make polycarbonate plastic, which is that hard, clear plastic that you find or used to find in a lot of that a lot of products were made of, especially baby bottles and reusable water bottles. We've seen over the past couple years, in part due to education as well as changes in the marketplace, that it's not used as frequently. Just like some of the other chemicals of concern, including parabens, bisphenol A acts like hormones in our body, which is why a lot of the health impacts that you see coming up with these chemicals are related to what you might see hormones do in the body. So things like reproductive cancers, also links to other reproductive problems like miscarriages and reproductive malformations. You know, these things act like hormones in the body. What else would you expect? So bisphenol A provides a story of some good action. The toxic baby bottle manufacturers no longer use it in their products. That was a voluntary phase-out, which is great. However, if you take yourself over to a dollar store, I'm sure that you can find a baby bottle that's made of polycarbonate that's going to have this bisphenol A in it, and you're using baby bottles for babies. They're some of the most vulnerable segment of our population because their babies are growing and developing. They don't have any choice about the products, you know, that are being used on them. So what we're talking about also becomes an issue of environmental justice as well, that even if we educate everyone and, you know, we have cooperation from manufacturers, there's always going to be a company or a product out there that isn't following what we're recommending. And, you know, that really stems back to our overall goal, which is fixing the policies that are out there to start with. That way we can ensure that everyone is protected, not just the people that we have the chance to educate or not just the people who can afford to make their own choices. And I think that, you know, that's really the bottom line in terms of what we're doing. You know, it really is helpful to educate people, and it's an awesome first step for people to be empowered and letting them know that, you know, it's their responsibility to tell their lawmakers or tell companies, this is unacceptable and we need you to change.
It sounds wonderful what both your organizations are doing. Sharon, I have another question for you. When you do your educational activities, do you feel, is there much hope? See, our group is very small, and we're always hoping that we will educate and then other people start educating, you know, that we have educated, basically, whether it be policymakers or, you know, like these local governments, town governments, county governments, representatives, or whether it be, you know, a school teacher or what. But do you find that your educational efforts are being multiplied by those that you educate at this stage?
I think in a way they are, and we've actually got a lot of positive feedback from the health teachers that we call. Our first line, really, with the schools are the health teachers, and so that is our in, so to speak. into the school districts. We call the health teachers and they say, yes, could you come in and present to my classes? And they're very inquisitive. They're very concerned about the, you know, getting this information to their students. So by the time we actually show up for the presentation, they've briefed everyone about what we're going to be doing, and so the students are already aware somewhat of the topic. And I think, you know, it depends on the time of day. Oftentimes those first classes of the day are a really hard sell. People are, you know, sort of nodding off and not as awake as we'd like them to be. But I think for the most part the students are engaged and curious, if not very interested about this topic. Another interesting point to make is that when we start passing the products around, that kind of pulls them into the real world of what we're saying. And one example that I use is with nail polish. And nail polish, actually there's a wonderful nail polish guide that Katie sent me last month with a list of nail polishes that don't have such harmful chemicals in them. But I got, I have a sample where you open it up and you're just knocked over by the smell, which is, you know, what you normally think of nail polish, and people sort of have come to accept that this is just the price for beauty, is that, you know, you have to inhale this horrible smell of the nail polish. So I did get a nail polish that has no smell to it, and I passed the two around together, and the kids are just amazed that, wow, you can actually, you know, have your cake and eat it too. I can polish my nails, and I don't have to, you know, get a headache by doing so. So, you know, and I also, if we can get to the, if we have enough lead time, the teachers can ask the kids to bring their products in, and so that's always a really another way to really bring it home for them, is to say, okay, I use this product, this is in my house, you know, how is what you're saying up there relate to my product? And so we take that product and we use it as an example, and we look it up on the cosmetic safety database, and we show them, here's the rating. You know, it can fall anywhere between 0, which is basically pretty safe, to 10, which is of great concern in terms of toxicity. And so that's an eye-opener for them, too. I had one young woman bring in her, it was some sort of misting body spray that when we looked it up on the database, it scored a 9 or a 10, which is pretty high and of concern. And she had actually been in a group that I had presented to over the summer, and I said, remember how, you know, I talked about making these body sprays with just distilled water, I think witch hazel, a couple other ingredients, and essential oils. And so I talked to her about the option of, you know, spraying this product and on herself versus, you know, making a product at home that is, you know, catered to what she likes in terms of a scent, but definitely less toxic. And the other interesting thing about that interaction was that she said to me, well, I only spray it on my clothes. And I think that is another misconception among young people, thinking that if they just spray it on their clothes, then, you know, it's safe. And the truth is that they're inhaling this spray, and so in some ways that's even more dangerous, because they're, you know, it's not just getting on their clothes, which eventually do get on their skin somewhat, but it's getting into their lungs. And I think that was a really, so a lot of these very practical, let's take a look at the products, kind of, you know, spark conversation and then lead to, you know, suggestions or alternatives. And at least if they don't go home and throw out their product, which, you know, would be a wonderful thing in my eyes, but if they don't go home and do that, at least they're thinking about it. And maybe next time when they go to actually buy it, they'll say, maybe I'll, you know, try making it myself, or maybe I'll look for a version that's not quite as toxic.
Yeah, and they're probably talking with each other about that too, when they're changing their minds about these things.
Sure.
So it is working out.
Yeah.
There's certainly a lot of education going on.
The website, just quickly to follow up there, the website that Sharon mentioned is an absolutely wonderful resource. You can find it at cosmeticsdatabase.com. It's the Skin Deep Cosmetic Safety Database, and it's provided by Environmental Working Group, which is a wonderful nonprofit that does a lot of great work in this realm, as well as providing research information. So I, you know, use it talking to people all the time, as you mentioned, really eye-opener. And, you know, the idea of disseminating information and, you know, having those follow-up conversations is part of why we did, you know, put together these party kits that are available, downloadable for individuals. We get follow-up requests, you know, for events. Sharon and I can't make it everywhere. the idea is, you know, as if you attend, you know, some kind of event, you've now got this resource available to you so that, you know, if you learned about cleaners and didn't get a chance to learn about body care products, you can check out a website, learn what you need to know, and help tell other people about it. You know, so it is really a great, simple way to spread the word, you know, without having people feel overwhelmed. It's really practical and gives people great ideas, but, you know, isn't meant to be scary, which is, you know, something to watch out for, because we're dealing with some serious stuff here.
Yeah. This thing of being overwhelmed, someone, I think it was probably Dr. McCullough, he was reporting on the fact that CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, had just recently published another one of their reports on the body burden of these various pollutants that human beings carry around. And I think there were 8,000 Americans that were assessed, and it was for 200-some or 600-some or, you know, some small fraction of all the chemicals that are out there, the tens of thousands of chemicals that are present in our environment and our products. And when you looked at that, and then you looked at the recommendations were, they're about PBDEs, they're about, I believe it was about phthalates, they're about bisphenol A, and basically government was just pretty much saying these chemicals are there. There aren't a whole lot of ways of avoiding them in certain cases. They weren't making nearly as good a pitch for feeling that a person does have the power to make a big difference on this as what you guys are doing. I'm so glad you're doing it, and I'm hoping that CDC will eventually start doing more like what I think there's this old saying or maybe a new saying or something along the lines that where the people lead, government follows, and
yeah.
Sure that's happening here.
I mean, that definitely, you know, is a good case with what we've seen with bisphenol A. Again, you know, kind of harping on this one chemical, but it's a great example. You know, there's been any number of safety determinations by all sorts of different government agencies. You know, Health Canada has one viewpoint. They're moving forward with a ban. The National Toxicology Program here in the United States says there's some concern, while the CDC is not providing any level of concern. And this is where really politics and policy up, which is unfortunate, and why, you know, a lot of times we do see the progress in the areas where there's the most grassroots education and advocacy going on. There's been a lot of concern about, you know, conflicts of interest in the determination of the safety of bisphenol A, with the CDC relying very heavily, if not exclusively, on industry-funded studies and excluding hundreds of studies out there that do show impacts of low doses of bisphenol A. They've promised to reevaluate their safety determination. That has continually been extended. And actually, just recently, it was November 30th, extended to December 31st. And now it is, you know, the new year, and we still have failed to see a new safety determination or safety, you know, prognosis from the FDA. I'm sorry, this is from the FDA, I'm sorry, not the CDC, on this issue of bisphenol A. And the question is, why? Why is this stuff not being done? Why is consumers, you know, are we having to be our own advocate, watch out for ourselves? You know, the products on the shelf should be safe. And, you know, we're finding that they're not. But if you, you know, if you take a trip across the Atlantic, it's a very different situation in Europe. They have progressive policies that, in fact, do a much better job of protecting consumers in a precautionary approach using that method. The main policy there is called REACH, which provides for requiring testing and safety determination before a product is registered for use. I'm sorry, before a chemical is registered for use. And the interesting thing that we're finding is that, you know, in such a global economy, a lot of these products that we're talking about are made by the same company. So a company makes a product to sell in Europe. They comply with European standards. They make the same lotion or shampoo to sell in the U.S. And don't use their product that they've that is complying with REACH, and instead they make a product that contains more toxic chemicals. A great story from someone that we've met along the way was she was looking out for these chemicals of concern in a product. I think it was lotion. Used the tester bottle, you know, at the store, checked it out, liked the lotion, checked the list of ingredients, came home with the bottle, and realized to her dismay that, in fact, the bottle she had purchased had the chemicals of concern in it. And her only explanation was that, whether intentionally or by accident, the tester product that she was able to look at and use must have been the European version. Mm. So, you know, there's no reason that here in the United States we should have any less protection from these toxic chemicals, and that, you know, our manufacturers and companies should have any less responsibility in terms of protecting our health and environment. So this basic grassroots education, you know, building its way up is really how we're seeing these changes being made.
Yeah, I think the only hopes of getting a better result from FDA is exactly what you just stated there. The people knowing the science and knowing the, you know, the risks that are involved, and then changing the manufacturers and somehow hopefully making it clear to FDA that, you know, that for the best of everybody involved, you know, the public, the manufacturers, and government, that they need to just look at the science, do what is helpful based on the science, and then, you know, leave it, you know, go there without any concerns about how it's going to affect some company's bottom line for a short period of time. You know, it's not rocket science. It's just all about the money, really. Mm. It's said over and over and over again that the money decides so many things. And the short-term consideration of money is dumb. It's just plain dumb. We're spending so much more money on treating and supporting and dealing with diseases that are caused by this short-term concern about the money that, you know, hopefully with the public understanding these things so much better, it'll be easier to get good government out of this society we have here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't make any claims that it's an easy decision, you know, to figure out what level is safe, what level isn't safe, how much should be there, what kind of exposure. I don't, you know, it's definitely not an easy job. But what it really comes down to, in, you know, our opinion, is how much do you need to know before you act?
Yep.
And that amount is different in different places. You know, we're finding the United States to be some of the most lenient. And, you know, there's crazy amounts of disease, health impact, pollution that, you know, can be prevented by changing that level, you know, that you need of proof before you act. So it's not a simple, you know, determination. It is difficult. It is complicated. There are all sorts of factors involved. But we're talking about health and safety of our public and the environment.
Exactly.
I actually think that one of the reasons why these healthy home parties and the body care wear project are being so well received is because people want, quote unquote, professionals to tell them. It's too overwhelming to go and do it yourself. So part of what they come to us for is, can you just tell me, like, just guide me, give me some, you know, tips, or they want validation that what they've sort of been thinking about is accurate or not accurate. And I think that, you know, and I just think that that's a positive
step on their part to not be so overwhelmed and to just kind of fall by the wayside and say, oh, everything causes cancer, which is...
I've heard that so many times.
I know. So why should I worry? I can't worry about it. I already have a full-time job. I can't worry about it. So now, so I think that for them to take the step to come to one of these events or to visit the Clean New York website and download the packet or whatever they do, they're looking for some guidance and for someone who's already disseminated a lot of information. And so, you know, I think that it's really important as educators to keep up with that and to make sure that we don't get overwhelmed or burnt out or, you know, just, that we can make a difference.
It's so good that you're this kind of intermediary between the scientists and the public. You know, there's very few people do have the time or the background, the education or many of these different things that are necessary to really get into scientific literature and then be able to make some decisions and choices. And yet by your group and the Clean New York group and our group and these various other, like the Environmental Working Group, these various other groups, looking at the science, keeping up to date in the science, the state of the knowledge science, and then being able to digest that and evaluate it to the point where decisions can be made, that's what people, are just so much benefited by coming together with our groups. And it's just so wonderful to see it happening. And I'm really hoping these alternative MDs that do these newsletters on the Internet and that also do some hard copy newsletters, I'm hoping they're going to get more and more and more into not just treatments but prevention and focusing on pollution reduction and pollutant exposure reduction as a big part of, their message, because they're not doing it. They're doing it a little. They jumped into it with the bisphenol A. It's interesting to see how they're starting to get their feet wet on bisphenol A. Now these more kind of mainstream, kind of a big deal, newsletter guys like Dr. Sears and Dr. McCullough and Dr. Rowan and Dr. Williams. There's lots of them that do these fantastic newsletters, and they're getting me more and more along the lines of environmental health, and I'm really happy to see that, because really this job of educating all Americans about these exposures that are so at risk and that we're not being protected at all by government or industry. We just have to do this ourselves, and it's good to have a lot of players involved in the game. Well, is there anything more? I wanted to give away, let me get back to one thing here, if you got the guys ahead of time. We're talking about phthalates, so let's just kind of like restate that. The fragrances are phthalates, is that correct?
Well, I think that there's many different ingredients that make up a fragrance.
Okay.
And phthalates, and actually Katie could probably jump in here more with the actual definition of it, but they are one way of ensuring that the actual smell that is the fragrance is carried through and is carried through to the product and lasts a long time. That's my understanding of it.
Well, Katie, is there? Go ahead.
Sorry. Yep. That's absolutely the basic idea. And as I mentioned, phthalates are one of those chemicals that can act like hormones in our body, leading to a variety of reproductive problems. Also related as a trigger to asthma attacks. And a point to make here, is that we don't see phthalates on the label, as we've mentioned. In fragrances, in part to protect proprietary information, which has its own use and benefit for the companies, but that fragrances aren't the only place that you find phthalates. If you avoid all products with fragrances, that doesn't necessarily mean that you'll, quote-unquote, be living a phthalate-free life, and that one of the other uses of phthalates are to make plastics soft and flexible.
Yep.
So it's not just in terms of fragrances. You can find them in soft, flexible plastics. Again, not labeled. There's no big asterisk that says this product contains phthalates. Phthalates are linked to A, B, and C. Again, that goes back to our concerns about, as consumers, we should have a right to know. Phthalates are one of the chemicals that we have seen some action taken on. In terms of policy, and I was actually at the federal level the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act, which passed a couple of years ago, regulated six phthalates specifically in children's products. So primarily plastics that are meant for use by young children. The six different
those
kinds of bands
chewy,
and required more study. We're still, there's a period of time where we're waiting to see whether that ban will remain in place after these are finished. So we are taking steps. Focusing only on children does help us protect the most vulnerable groups, but that entirely excludes, for example, packaging. I had a conversation actually at an event in Rochester where we had almost this identical conversation talking about phthalates and fragrances, using fragrance-free products or making your own products with, natural fragrances and essential oils. And she said, but what about packaging? What about, these plastics that are used for packaging, so that even if even if your product isn't made of plastic necessarily, the packaging might be plastic and containing phthalates. So it's not a simple, there's no simple, method of eliminating exposures. And what we can do is educate ourselves about the easiest and most obvious routes of exposure and continue to advocate, for those safety-based policies that are safer alternatives to these toxic chemicals.
Well, this has been really wonderful. It's been very enlightening, and I'm sure that people that listen will take away a lot and be able to do some educating of their own, and we'll all be doing this kind of education before we know it. You had mentioned, Katie, you had mentioned the Pollution Prevention Institute, and that was part of your approach. Just give us just a minute or two about pollution prevention, and we'll wrap this up.
Sure. The Pollution Prevention Institute is a product of the DEC, Department of Environmental Conservation here in New York State. And they do a great job of actually working primarily from the business model of working individually with businesses to help create change the way that they, formulate products or, use their products. So here in New York State, it's called, you can find their website at www.nysp2i.rit.edu. So it's housed at RIT. And, they have a community grants program, which helps small organizations, inform the community about these issues of toxic chemicals or reducing pollution. And, Clean New York has had a great time working with them to help with this overall goal of reducing pollution and protecting our health and environment. And it's been, like I said, a great way for us to get on the ground and, really make those changes and help educate people about these issues.
Well, it's good to know there is funding for this work because, certainly the workmen, the educator men and women are worth their hire, and it all needs to be a kind of working to get this all done. Well, thanks both you gals. You've been really, really great.
I do just want to say one thing. If there are any educators listening and would like me to come in and do a presentation to their group on the Body Care Wear project, that they can get in touch with me at the Cancer Resource Center. And my email is sharon@crcfl.net.
Okay, and Katie, could you give us a quick contact point?
Absolutely. Just as a refresher, you can find those Healthy Homecoming Party Kits on the Clean New York website, which is www.clean-ny.org/hhparty.html. And again, I'm Katie Kelly. You can contact me at clean.katiekelly@gmail.com.
Well, sounds great. Hope you both have a wonderful weekend, and you certainly have been doing a lot to make life more wonderful for all of us all the time.
Thanks for taking the time, Don.
Yep.
Yes, thank you, Don. I appreciate it.
Yep, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.